Good morning. Welcome to History Matters. Today we'll be looking into battle sites. Not only here in Gdańsk, which is where the worst conflict of humanity started, the Second World War, but other battlefields across the world. We're coming to you today from Gdańsk. Today is the 1st of September 2021, and this is a city which is witness to the outbreak of World War II exactly 82 years ago. Today's programme is centred very, very much on this subject. We're very lucky to have a splendid guest, Mr. Karol Szejko, from the Museum of the Second World War in Gdańsk.
Hello, listeners.
Yes, good morning. Very nice to have you here. Karol Szejko works for the Museum of the Second World War, but he is also an important person because he is the chief coordinator of the World Battlefield Museums Forum. He'll tell us a bit more about the forum later, but Karol, could you start by telling us a little bit about the Museum of the Second World War in Gdańsk?
Right, so if you're a tourist visiting Gdańsk, the place to visit is obviously the Museum of the Second World War. Why? First of all, because it's got splendid architecture you can take in and enjoy while you're in the museum or while you're outside the building. But it's also got a fabulous exhibition telling the story of World War II. The story of World War II is obviously told in a general aspect, but also it's told through the eyes of the survivors and the soldiers taking part in the war.
Well, thank you. That's really interesting. Could you tell us possibly, what is the significance of Gdańsk and World War II? Why is there a Second World War museum here and not in, Warsaw, Krakow, Berlin or Paris?
Yeah, obviously, if you think of Gdańsk, then it's the best place to build a museum of the Second World War because the war began in Gdańsk in 1939.
I see.
And this is where the conflict started on the European soil. And obviously we're talking here about Westerplatte, a symbolic battle, the first battle of the Second World War, the first one.
So that actually started here, and that was on September the 1st, 82 years ago.
Yes, it was on September the 1st, 82 years ago, and I think Westerplatte signifies the courage and the determination of the Polish soldiers in the face of the overwhelming enemy. And obviously Westerplatte is an important site. We tell the story of Westerplatte in the Museum of the Second World War.
So is the museum in Westerplatte?
Not exactly. The museum is in the centre of Gdańsk, although there is a development plan going on right now, or a development plan for building a proper full-fledged museum at Westerplatte. And the project has begun with the refurbishment of the Polish Soldiers Army Cemetery at Westerplatte. And also there's going to be an exhibition opened at the power plant, the historic power plant at Westerplatte. And this exhibition is going to relate to the seven seasons of archaeological dig at Westerplatte since 2016 until the current year.
So when do you think that will be ready?
The exhibition is planned to open next year, actually. If things go well, 2022. Mm-hmm. If things go well, the first visitors will be able to come and see those amazing artifacts unearthed by archaeologists during seven seasons of archaeological dig.
So we'll have to come back to Westerplatte in 2022. But in the meanwhile, we're in the Museum of the Second World War. So you're saying it's in the centre of Gdańsk. You said it's splendid architecture. What's characteristic about it?
It's a groundbreaking project because there are not many buildings like this around Europe even. What you have to understand is the museum is basically composed of two parts. The first part is located totally underground. It's got three levels underground. It's going up 14 meters underground, and the main exhibition and all temporary exhibitions are underground. And the part that's at the top is the concrete blocks tower. It's slanting to give it of a symbolical meaning, mm-hmm. Slanting
like a
tower,
collapsing building,
like a collapsing building during the bombing of the Second World War. And in this tower, we have people working in scientific departments, educational departments, publishing departments. So
the museum isn't just a place where you can just go and look at exhibits. It's something more than that, is it?
Oh yeah, obviously. I mean, you know, you can spend a day there, or even a day, or even 2 days, because we have all facilities that tourists would like.
But you're mentioning that there's also research going on currently, yeah? Is that of some sort? I mean, is it just a museum that's been prepared and it just sits there as it was? Or is there actually ongoing work going on at the moment? I mean, because I think you have an educational department.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of work going on at the moment, even research work, because we send people to, or our people, our staff, they go to different locations, for instance, to record the last surviving eyewitness accounts. And we go to different places. We've even reached the States. We went to the Eastern Europe. We went to Kazakhstan. We went to Japan. Okay, so that is something very important, to actually get the words of the last survivors
The
last moment on video. But there's also a lot of education work relating to the main exhibition by our education department, and we also have a fabulous education scheme for children, for young children, even as young as 5-6 year olds.
Excellent.
So they can come and spend the day at the museum. Our educators are working with them. They're trained people, and they know obviously what how to deal with those children, how to present this harrowing story of war to young children, because it's obviously very difficult, because there's a lot of suffering involved even when you are visiting the exhibition.
That is fascinating. So you have this huge research department, you have this huge educational department, but when it comes to the exhibits themselves, are they just like glass cabinets that you look at, or is there something more interactive that visitors can look at?
Yeah, obviously, any museum that is obviously any museum that wants to call itself a museum needs to have real artifacts. And we do have real artifacts. We do have real artifacts, but obviously there's also interactive features spread around the museum, mm-hmm. and one of those possibly interactive features would be a new virtual reality zone, when you would be able to access the World War II narrative through VR goggles and get into the middle of
really experience of really, it firsthand.
Yeah, really experience it firsthand. You'd really be able to experience the events of World War II firsthand.
That's amazing. That is really good. A friend of mine that visited told me that one of the spectacular things is you actually have streets that are constructed, which is very unlike
a
museum.
Yeah, we do. I mean, a lot of tourists like this because it's a real pre-war street that could be an exemplary street in any Polish town. And it's a complete street with, shop windows and products in those shop windows, with signs saying with the name of the shop.
Okay, so it's very authentic.
It gives that authentic feeling. And I think that the street that we have, and it's placed, 14 meters underground, the fabulous street that we have, it may be one of the locations at the museum. Every tourist will take a picture there.
Okay, that's interesting. So it's not just scientific displays. It's also a form of very serious, but of entertainment.
It does, because it's a role of a contemporary museum or a future museum to actually access the people's emotions, to try to draw them in into the narrative. And I think that in our museum, in general, tourists will find many places in the main exhibition, also in the temporary exhibition, which is related to the experience of people, civilian populations as well, not only military during the war. They can access these emotions by looking at artifacts. And by the way, the exhibition is arranged in thematic blocks, leading the visitors throughout the stages of war.
That's fascinating. That is really interesting. Well, we can strongly recommend, if you are in Poland, and particularly if you're in Gdańsk, you should go and see the museum. It is really worth visiting. As if that wasn't enough work for you, you're also involved in a very important international project. I understand that you coordinate the World Battlefield Museum Forum, the WBMF, which, if I understand correctly, was formed back in 2018. Could you tell us what the WBMF is?
Yeah, exactly. Let's call it WBMF. So,
good idea.
Yeah, to make it easier for the listeners. Basically, WBMF originated, from the need to understand the role of battlefields in contemporary museum work. And in turn, this was related to a plan to refurbish the area of Westerplatte and build a museum there. So at that time, we thought it would be a great idea to get the museum curators or museum directors from all around the world, those who manage battlefield museums, to come here for a forum and share their experiences in managing battlefields, preserving battlefields, and commemorating battlefield events in their countries. And this proved very fruitful. At the first edition, we were able to invite people from places such as Verdun, Waterloo, Pearl Harbor Museum, Gettysburg Museum, also museum curators or directors from Turkey, Ukraine, Czech Republic and Slovakia. And this proved very, very successful because we have, I think, initiated an important discussion on battlefield role in contemporary museum world. And we want to follow from there.
Well, that is fascinating. I mean, I will admit I did know a little bit about this already because for the past few months we've been working together, the Museum of the Second World War, and in particular the WBMF, together with the English service at Radio Gdansk, to try and put together a series of audio programmes that will illustrate various members or various battlefields. One of the things that I liked was not that it's not just a description of the battles or the museums, but it's also what these battles can teach us today, which I think is really, really brilliant. Do you think you could tell us a little bit about this project to produce these audio programmes?
Sure. I think this is a groundbreaking project because, as far as I know, at least in Poland, there's not been a series of radio shows on history totally in English, so entirely in English. So what we have there is not only this historical aspect that we're trying to get people interested in, but we also have this educational aspect for all those that want to, you know, have contact with English, learn English, and have access to this historical knowledge in English. And this project originated, it was more than a year ago, and the work's been going on for a year. So it's a big, great project with a lot of people involved because we have six shows about important battles. And on each of those shows, we have staff from the museum talking, historians, coordinators of historical projects. We have independent experts talking from, let's say, I don't know, Oxford University.
So international experts.
International experts talking. But we also have the, I think this was the most challenging part because obviously in the times of the pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic, we tried to get the partners of the World Battlefields Museums Forum involved in the project. And the way we did it and the way we worked with Radio Gdansk also on this is to get them to sit down at their museums or at their battlefields, record the audio material on a given battle, on its significance, on the course of the battle, and then send the files over to us. And then at Radio Gdansk, we process those files, which is also a very challenging task because those recordings were sometimes of a varying quality.
Oh, that's radio life.
great... Great.
No, it's certainly been a great. It's a good project. I think it's well worth doing. I understand also that the audio programs will be available at the various battle site museums themselves. So in Verdun, in Narvik, in some of the others, is that true?
Yes, I think once the whole series is ready, and because we're still working on the last two bits, I suppose maybe the last one, then obviously we'll make this available for everyone interested and. It's for general use, it's for everyone, and anyone who wants to use it as educational material, for instance, I don't know, teachers, educators at schools, or people at the museum to actually enhance their story with this radio show. This will be the worthy material to promote anywhere in the world.
So what's the benefit of having it in English?
Well, obviously, the whole idea is of the World Battlefield Museums Forum. It's an international forum.
I see.
And the language is English. So the language of the lectures, the language of the...
all the materials.
All the materials, mm-hmm. They're all printed and produced in English. So this is why we decided to do it in English. And obviously, English is a very popular language in Poland. A lot of people learn English. They want to learn English. It's a lingua franca of today's world still. And this is why we decided to produce the whole material in English.
So in some ways, it's a clever plot to help people that are learning, wanting to improve their English, find out more about history.
Well, yes, exactly. Because by these shows and by the whole, WBMF project, we do want to reach out to the general public. So not only historians or people interested in battlefields, but, who doesn't like a great battle? A great battle is always something that's going to draw people, whether it's in a movie or in a radio show or whether it's in pictures. Everyone likes battles. That we wanted to reach out to wider audiences, mm-hmm. younger audiences who would want to maybe listen, learn English, and maybe get involved and interested in history a bit more. This is the part of the museum's policy to expand the historical narrative beyond the Second World War. So, like you said before, those battles are not only related to the Second World War, they're not only Second World War battles, but we go beyond. The oldest one being the Varus Battle of 9 AD, when the Germanic tribes conquered Roman legions.
Yes, that was quite a battle. We're coming to you today from Gdańsk. Today is the 1st of September 2021, and this is a city which is witness to the outbreak of World War II exactly 82 years ago. Today's programme is centred very, very much on this subject. It talks about the battlefield at Westerplatte. Could you tell us about the programme that's going out today?
Yes, this is the first in the series. That's the premiere. And I think it's important for us, for the museum, I think for all the Poles as well, because what we believe is that Westerplatte is the name that every Pole knows. It's probably something people have been learning about at school.
In Poland, of course.
In Poland, yeah. As small children. There is a whole legend behind the name Westerplatte, and there is a whole legend behind the battle itself. Because Westerplatte is also sometimes referred to as the Polish Thermopylae. Mm-hmm. So it's the small number of soldiers confronting the overwhelming enemy force and displaying this extraordinary grit and attitude towards the attackers, towards the invaders. So the myth behind Westerplatte is something that defines the place. And obviously there is no other way for us to start a show start a series of shows with a program about Westerplatte.
So is it just the program, does this program just talk about the battle? I mean, is it just a description of the battle?
Well, obviously, the battle is only one element in the whole show, and this is how the whole series has been designed. Every program includes the description of the battle, which is probably the beginning to a wider discussion of the events that happened during the battle, before the battle, and after the battle.
And how it's commemorated.
And how it's commemorated. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what we want to do, because the key motto of the WBMF would be courage, sacrifice, heritage, mm-hmm. with the stress put on the word heritage probably as the most important word. Because obviously what we are looking at is human beings put in those stressful situations. So we have soldiers during the battle that are maimed, that are probably traumatized for life, that kill, okay? And this is the negative emotion. But obviously what follows mm-hmm. is something good that can shine through the battle dust, terror and death, which is, the sense of brotherhood, the sense of humanity, the sense of understanding another human being. And this is why we want to put more stress on the significance of the battle rather than the course of the battle itself, although it may be extremely exciting and interesting.
Well, thank you very, very much, My and your guest today was Mr. Karol Szejko, from the coordinator of the World WBMF from the Museum of the Second World War in Gdańsk. You've been listening to History Matters on the Radio Gdańsk English Service. Thank you very much. Goodbye.